Jesus, you are our lamb. Lord, you are our scapegoat. When we die and meet you, when we meet the eternal God, and he looks into our life and he sees all our sins, and he looks in his book, and we and everything we've done stands in light, it's because of you and you only that we will be forgiven. It's because of you and you only that we will be perfect, blameless, spotless, and holy. Lord, and that's such a great gift, God. There's so many things in this life that we attach our hearts to and we get distracted by, Jesus, but the biggest moment in the universe for every human being, Jesus, is when we die and we stand in that judgment with you looking down on us. No one can save us. No law, no man-made law, no family member, no one with money, nothing. It'll just be you and us and your decision to send us to hell or heaven. And because of what you did, we know for sure that we have eternal life in heaven with you. So there's no blessing bigger than that. And we praise you for that. We remember you. We don't just observe you because it's Easter, Lord. We observe you because this is our life. This is our truth. This is our way. All day long. And Lord, we just thank you for that. In your name, we praise you and thank you. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can find these audio booths in iTunes if you just go to the store and go to the search query. You can locate it by typing in Michael Ryan's Boos. So, Michael Ryan, apostrophe S, and then B-O-O-S. I felt it was good to talk to you about the new way, the new covenant. Jesus Christ is our new covenant. His blood is the usher. It's the bringing in of the new covenant. And why do I want to talk about the new covenant? Well, I've heard it talked about recently, and I think it's good for us believers because I have the belief that there are many of us who are Christian under the Old Testament law. I believe that we have a Christian Mosaic law going on in our faith where Jesus Christ is simply the shell of our faith, but inside of it is the Mosaic law. What do I mean by that? Well, we talk about Jesus. We say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving us. We recognize the blood that he died for us, and that he's our savior. We may read about him and see stories of him and like what he says. But when it comes to how we think, when it comes to everyday life and what we trust and rely upon, it becomes the Mosaic law. Well, what is the Mosaic law? In short, first of all, I encourage you to go look into that, really. Please read the book of Hebrews. Go read that for yourself. For yourself. It's Paul or Barnabas or whoever it may be. People have different agreements about it. Doesn't matter. It's really Jesus Christ speaking through whoever the writer is. But they're speaking to people who are considering kind of going back, Jewish believers trying to take the Old Testament law and incorporate it into their new faith. And it's a good book to just be like, no, don't do that. And it just pretty much explains how the Old Testament is really just a shadow of Jesus Christ and the new covenant. But I believe that inside, as believers, we really have a lifestyle of a Mosaic covenant. Well, what do I mean? What is a Mosaic covenant? It's essentially a system of behaviors that justify us and make us acceptable to God. Well, I don't think like that, Michael. I don't have a system of works or a law. Well, many times we do it without even realizing it. And sometimes just the way we start feeling emotionally, we live in a world where religion, it's just all one big mosaic system of works based that we are unworthy, we are unholy, and the only way we get holy and we get worthy and we get acceptable is by doing good things. And if we don't do good things, we ought to feel ashamed. We feel like a curse. And the more bad that we do, the more alienated we feel from God, like we don't even have a right to really even truly come back to God because we're just so horrible. I mean, this really is going on in our church, and it's probably going on with maybe some people who are listening right now, where they've had a week of just maybe sin or struggling or whatever it may be, and they feel like, I can't go to God because I'm a hypocrite. How can I go act like I'm cool with God when I'm a hypocrite? They base their faith on their own behavior. They base their relationship with Jesus on their works. And it's completely, completely, completely off. It's completely off. Our relationship, our new standing, our promise and inheritance has nothing to do with us and everything to do with what Jesus did for us. Our justification has nothing to do with our behavior and everything to do with Christ's behavior while he lived on this earth and when he went to the road of Calvary and laid his life down. And I say he laid his life down. It wasn't taken from him. Everything to do with that. Well, Mike, tell me more because I don't really understand where you're coming from. You know how many times we start feeling like we don't want to go to church, we don't want to have anything to do with God because we just feel like, I'm not really right with him, and I'm not really, I don't really feel right, and so I don't really feel comfortable being around the people of God or trying to read and do Christian things because I have this struggle in my life, this bondage, this sin, this temptation that keeps overtaking me, or I have these things that I just can't. So I don't want to. I don't really, I'm a believer. I got baptized. I confessed and I got baptized and I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and he saved me. But I'm just a little bit kind of, when it comes to being excited about God and stuff like that, that's not for me because I'm too imperfect. That's the Mosaic law. That is taking the Christian doctrine and just stamping it on a Mosaic law. It's exactly what Jesus said about how you don't go to Macy's or to Bloomingdale's or wherever you go to shop. You don't buy a shirt that's new and then go home, go look in your old clothes from 5 years ago, cut a piece off your Bloomingdale's shirt, and then put it onto your old clothes. Old shirt, so that way you can now make it new and fix that. So if your old shirt has a hole in it or a rip, you don't take a piece of the new Bloomingdale's shirt and then put it on the old. But that's exactly what we do with our faith. We take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take the new covenant and the part of it where Jesus saved us and we're going to heaven, we cut that out and then we put it on the Mosaic law. So it's back to, I've got to do right, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. If I don't, I'm cursed, I'm horrible, I deserve judgment. Oh, but I'm going to heaven when I die, and I know that I'm saved. And there's absolutely no life in your walk. There's absolutely no peace, no joy, no abundant life, no abundant living. The quality of your walk is no different than an unbeliever. And you won't admit it, but it's a big fat elephant sitting in the room. And my heart is that you know that Jesus has called you to something so much more greater than that. So much more greater than that. The new covenant is everything. Jeremiah 31:31, God promises to give a new covenant. It's a new system, a new way. And if you're listening to this podcast and you have a sense that your Christian walk is not thriving in the abundant life, that you don't feel like you really are having a Christian quality life with Jesus Christ, you don't feel close to God, I'm sharing with you the fullness of the message of Jesus Christ. If you don't even know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is still good for you. Because I'm sharing the new way. I'm sharing the program that God wants you to get on. If you're on this program, you will have eternal life. And it doesn't start when you die. It will start right now. And this is what the life is. Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and living in you. And the new system is this. No longer does our behavior justify us, but what Jesus Christ did, that justifies us. And no longer do we try to live right, but we allow Christ to do it in us. Well, Michael, that sounds kind of, Christ doing it in me. I mean, how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. Through faith. When I first got saved, I wanted to be a lawyer. And when I got saved, I said, let me go out there and be a lawyer for God. I want to get into apologetics, which is the defending of the faith. And I wanted to learn everything I could about logically explaining the faith. And it got to a point where I got prideful in my heart, said I could logically explain and reasonably explain Christianity. And I would get upset when people couldn't see. Completely just pushed the Holy Spirit out the way and took my brains and my intelligence and my knowledge and my information of all the facts, and I thought that that would substitute, and it didn't. And it left me not only feeling upset and frustrated and not bearing any fruit, but it also made my own spiritual journey in life and put it in shambles. But it's the faith in Jesus Christ and his presence. You see, the whole point of salvation and of being a child of God is for his spirit to live in us. It says in Ezekiel 38, chapter 26, I think starting at 25, and it goes on to 26 and 27, where God says, and I will put my spirit in them, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes. You see, it's God causing you to live right. It's not you trying to live right and then beating yourself up when you don't. You're going to sin against God. You're going to sin against God. Sin is not the issue. Jesus Christ living in you is the issue. Allowing Jesus Christ to manifest himself in you is the issue. Worshiping him, fixing your eyes on him. I mean, this is a real big problem in our church. This is the new way. It's the new covenant. No longer do we have to worry about being a curse. No longer do we have to let our imperfections haunt us. The things we struggle with torment us. Jesus Christ will perfect that. If you're a believer, you understand that Satan's always trying to throw temptations at you, and you will fall. But it's not about that. It's about your worshiping devotion to Christ. That's the only thing you're responsible for. That's the only thing that God wants. That's the only yoke that you have, is to learn of him. Just enter the yoke with Jesus Christ. That's the new way. See, the old way was put the yoke in yourself and do your best. Put the yoke on top of you and follow the law. Now, here's the new way. Enter the yoke of Christ and let him do it for you. New way. It's already understanding that you cannot live a sinless life. The new covenant is already showing that you are imperfect. By you getting tormented by your sins, you're only just revealing to yourself what God already knew about you. That's why he sent his son. He sent his son, it says in 2 Corinthians, because of weakness. So why are you now being a slave to your weakness? Be a slave to Jesus. Don't allow your own imperfections to stop you from glorifying God. Because it's the glorifying God. It's the fixing your eyes on Jesus, the Son of God. It's the worshiping of our Messiah. It's the devotion to our Messiah. That is what changes you. That is what bears the fruit in you. Instead, what we do is we put yokes on ourselves. oh, I gotta know the Bible perfectly. I should be memorizing more scripture. I should be spending more time reading. I should be going to church more. I should be reading this more. I should be fellowshipping with Christians more. I should be tithing more. I should be doing this and that. I should be able to have a spiritual gift. All this nonsense. It's Jesus Christ in you. And do you know how this new covenant got ushered in? It's by his blood. It's by his blood. I heard a minister speaking about this, that you know, many people argue, and I'm among them. I was among that camp. Catholics and Protestants, what does the communion or the Last Supper represent? Oh, Catholics will tell you it's the literal transformation of food, of the manna, of the wafer, to being the body of Christ, and the wine to being the blood of Christ. Protestant will tell you, no, it's just symbolic. But you know, here's an insight that I'm really praying about, because I believe it to be true, and I want to understand it even deeper. But that Jesus Christ said, this is the blood of the new covenant. He doesn't speak anything about that. Doesn't say anything about his body transferring. Doesn't say anything about it being symbolic. All he says is, it's the new covenant. And every gospel that the Last Supper happens, that there's an account of, he always speaks of it as the new covenant. It's ushering in the new covenant. And 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about it as a new covenant. Again in Hebrews, it talks about his blood as the new covenant. And really, I think that every time we eat, we ought to be remembering that we're under the new way of grace. Every time we eat, we ought to be remembering. We ought to be remembering that Jesus Christ died so we can have a new way of life. A life that's not of burden and of laws and of rules and of condemnation, but a life of freedom to worship Jesus, and no sin can hold us down. It doesn't matter what sin you did today, yesterday, 5 minutes ago, worship Jesus and enjoy his presence and let him bear the fruit in you. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we want? I don't care how disconnected you've been from God. Just worship him now. He's already a friend with you. It's like you're like, I'm not going to connect to God until I'm right. I'm not going to go enter the tabernacle until I'm pure. It's like, that's so Old Testament. Do you know what people had to do? People had to go through so much in the Old Testament just to even be in the presence of God. All of these rules. It was just a type of Christ. It was just a model. Well, why did God even do that? Well, he can't make up his mind. Why did he even have a system like that anyway, if he was just going to do away with it? Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. I have some guesses. I believe that after Adam ate the fruit and Jesus Christ just showed up, I don't think we really would have gotten the full picture. I think having the system that he had in the Old Testament really helps people to see our inability to follow God's word, to follow his rule. You are unable. You will fall every time, and you probably noticed that already. You're inclined to sin. Your default is rebellion to God. I don't care how excited you got in the Word, how excited you got in church, how much you know about God, you'll sin against him, and you'll enjoy it. That's your default. But the new covenant is this. It's Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit of God causing us to live right. It's us worshiping and fixing our eyes on the Messiah and being blameless. There's all the sins of our life have been paid for. So we can worship God. We can just repent and worship him freely and allow him to continue to change and grow us. And I guarantee, as you worship God, as you fix your eyes on him, as you invite his presence to come in you, you'll become addicted to that, and you'll notice that the sin will diminish. You know, it's funny, when you start taking your eyes off of sin and putting on Jesus, you'll notice that that's when you start to sin less. But when you focus on not trying to sin or not trying to walk in the flesh, you walk in it even more.
But if you focus on walking in Christ, focus on worshiping Jesus, your master, that's when the fruit will grow. Amen. So I pray that this opens up your eyes. Lord, I pray that anyone listening would just come to you and worship you and not allow their own imperfections to get in the way, not allow their own feelings to stop you from getting the glory. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.